You may not have a whole lot of interest in prophecy, but Skip Heitzig says it's too important to ignore.
Well, did you know that 1/4 of your Bible is prophecy? So if you ever say, well, I don't really want to read prophecy, that you got to cut out a fourth of it, 25%. God put that there so that you and I would read it and we see those things that have been fulfilled. Ah, we're steadied by it because really all of them focus on Jesus Christ and His coming again.
Make the connection at the foot of the cross. Study.
If you think the Dark Ages were called that because the light bulb hadn't been invented yet, then you may want to do a little more research. More importantly, however, you may want to research the real Dark Ages that are yet to come, a time unlike anything this world has ever seen. Jesus warned us about this coming age, and Skip Heitzig tells us what he said and how we should respond to his warnings today here on The Connection. But before we get to that, learn how Skip Heitzig connects you with Dr. Erwin Lutzer this month in this Connection resource.
It's a mad world we live in. We don't know where we or our country will even be in the next few years. In these crazy times, we need to be able to see straight to the spiritual heart of things. With this month's Connection resource, learn how to stand against spiritual threats with Pastor Skip Heitzig's book, Homeland Security. Then dive into Dr. Erwin Lutzer's book, The Cross and the Shadow of the Crescent, and open your eyes to the danger of Islam in the Western world. In Dr. Lutzer's words,
there are plenty of books out there on Islam, what Islam teaches, and of course this book has that also. But what this is lessons for the American church as to what is coming through the pike.
Wrap it all up with an exclusive interview with Pastor Skip and Dr. Lutzer as they candidly discuss the spiritual state of our country.
Right now, America is in a position of submission to Islam.
Get this package when you make a donation of any amount at connectiononline.org/offers or call 1-800-922-1888.
And we just want to remind you, we enjoy hearing from you, our listeners. If these Connection broadcasts are shining the truth of Jesus into your life, tell us how when you send an email to mystory@connectiononline.org. As we look at darkness, and in every meaningful way, it will one day envelop this world. Is the future entirely hopeless? Is there any way to keep that darkness at bay? We'll find out next, right here on The Connection.
And make the connection.
Turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 24 as we begin today's study with Skip Heitzig.
Do you remember that guy, Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh? Some of you remember he had a compound of 64,000 acres in Oregon, just south of the Columbia River. Thousands of followers from all over North America. He claimed to be the very Christ. He said he was going to take over Oregon, the United States, eventually the continent, and one day the entire world. Of the thousands of people that followed Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh, 80% were college graduates. 20% had doctoral degrees. 12% had double doctorate degrees. Many of them raised in churches or synagogues. What was the appeal? Here was the appeal. What people said who came out of that cult is, we were just burned out. We were burned out on culture, burned out on society, burned out on organized religion. So here comes this wacko from the East saying, I am Christ and I'm going to take over and bring in a new age. And thousands of smart people followed him at a very vulnerable time in American history. Where are we today? Well, here's where we are. According to the Barna Research Group, they put out an article that said most Americans base their truth on, you know what? Most Americans base truth on feelings. feelings, not objective truth on feelings. In fact, they said, by a margin of 3-1, 64% of American adults said truth is always relative to the person and the situation. So what if the situation is really bleak, like it's described in the Great Tribulation, and these people are going through absolutely depleted of energy and weary and vulnerable? Have you heard of this guy, José Luis de Jesús Miranda? Some of you have. I see a few nods. He was on the Today Show. He said he's Jesus Christ. He's from South America. He said right in the camera, I am Jesus Christ. The Miami Herald ran a news article about Miranda. The article said, in 1988, he announced he was the reincarnation of the Apostle Paul. In 1999, he dubbed himself the Other, a spiritual superbeing who had paved the way for Christ's second coming. In 2004, he proclaimed himself to be Jesus Christ. So he's working his way up every few years. He said, I don't study the Bible. I don't go into rooms for prayer. Who am I going to pray to? You go, okay, this guy's weird, and they pick up on him in the press. He has no followers. Wrong. He has thousands of followers, and there are 30 study centers right now in the United States, and worldwide there are 58. Thousands of people who went to organized churches and left them and are now picketing in front of churches saying, all of you Christians are believing the wrong gospel. This guy is Jesus Christ. Well, you say this guy's crazy. He has a Messiah complex. That's what psychologists dub it nowadays. A Messiah complex is anybody who thinks he or she is the redeemer of the world. One rabbi said, today in Israel, there are scores of people with a Messiah complex. They move over there because they know what the Bible says about end time prophecy in Israel. They're living in Israel, and they're just waiting for the right time to launch. Now, move over a couple countries to the Muslim country of Iran. We've already mentioned this guy a number of times in these studies. The head of Iran, Ahmadinejad, the president of that country, sincerely believes, it's all over the press in Iran, that he will be the instrument Allah uses to bring the Messiah to the Muslims. The Mahdi, or the 12th Imam, the hidden Imam, the one who will come on the scene, take over the world, and Islamize the entire world. He believes he's the guy Allah will use to do that. All of this to say the world is becoming more and more Messiah ready as time goes on. So there will be a time during that period of time where it will get so bad that there will be a spiritual vulnerability. Now let's go on in our verses back in Matthew 24, because there, though that is going on, there's a counter trend to that. And that is, there's going to be a scriptural vitality. Because you'll notice in verse 24 that when Jesus predicts false Christs and false prophets and great signs and wonders, notice it says, to deceive, if possible, even the elect. You see that? If possible. The implication is it's impossible. If it were possible, it would happen, but it's not. Because the elect will be sealed by God and thus aware of this deception. Now let me insert a verse right about now. Revelation chapter 13, which describes the Antichrist who comes. In Revelation 13:8, we read, all who dwell on the earth will worship the Antichrist, whose names have not been written in the book of the life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Those are all the people that are going to follow the Antichrist. The ones that won't are those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. They're the elect. They're the ones that are kept. They're sealed. They won't be deceived. Jesus said, my sheep will hear my voice. They won't pay attention to another. They will follow me. Here's a question. What is it that will tip off the elect to the discernment that all of this is false, wrong, deceptive? You know what it is? Prophecy. Prophetic scripture. Verse 25, Matthew 24. See, I have told you beforehand. I've given you enough advance warning so that by the warning, you will understand when it happens what's going on. It's the same idea as back in verse 15. Notice it with me. He predicts the abomination of desolation. He says, whoever reads, let him understand. So during that time, people are going to be finding these books. A lot of them will be left. And they're going to start reading it. And they're going to get the lowdown on this. And those who become God's elect, converted to Christ during that time, are going to see all of this prophetic scripture written about in advance, and they're going to understand this, and it's going to steady them during that time. And it's the belief in the prophecies of the Word of God that will keep them faithful to Christ, even to death. In Revelation chapter 6, verse 9, the fifth seal was opened, and I saw under the altar the souls of them who had been slain for the Word of God and for the testimony which they held. They were willing to face death, and they will be, because they hold on to what the Bible has said and they believe it. And then Revelation chapter 20, it's the same group now preserved all the way through. I saw thrones and they that sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the Word of God, who had not worshiped the beast or his image, had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. So what will keep them from taking the mark of the beast? What will keep them from following and worshiping the Antichrist? What will keep them from all of this mass deception? It will be the warning in the Scripture. So during the most vulnerable time in human history, it's the prophetic Scripture that will steady them. Jesus telling them these things in advance. As Christians, we know the value of the Bible in steadying us whenever we face difficulty. Probably one of the first things you do when you face a trial is you go right to the Bible. You want to see what the Bible has to say about it. You read a psalm or you read an epistle of Paul, and it brings courage and comfort and steadies your soul. But I'm telling you, don't stop there. Read not just Psalms, not just Proverbs, but in your darkest, most vulnerable moment, study prophecy. Study prophecy. I'll tell you why. It will steady you and anchor you like nothing else. Because you realize God is so powerful, He's able to write about all these things that are going to happen thousands of years before they do. I guess He's got it all under control. It'll just bring a sense of stability. No wonder Peter said, we have a more sure word of prophecy. Hey, did you know that the book of Revelation, we would probably say that's the most prophecy-laden book in the Bible. The book of Revelation is the only book in the Bible that specifically opens with a promise for a blessing to anybody who reads it and listens to it and obeys it. Doesn't mean that you're not blessed by reading other portions of the Bible. It just happens to be the only book with a specific blessing promised to those who read and hear and do. You remember those two disciples on the road to Emmaus after the crucifixion and resurrection? They thought Jesus was dead, buried, didn't expect him to be risen from the dead. Jesus comes up, this is Luke 24, and comes up incognito, starts talking to these guys. Hey guys, what's up? How come you guys are so bummed out? Now, this is a free translation. And they look at him and go, what are you, a stranger? You don't know the things that have happened during these days? And he said, what things? And they tell him about Jesus, and we trusted in him, but why should we trust? He's dead now, our hope's gone. The Bible says, and beginning at Moses and all of the prophets, he began to expound to them all of the things in the Scripture concerning himself. First thing Jesus did to his disciples after he rose from the dead is not just give them a Bible study, but a prophetic one. He showed how all the prophecies in the Bible center on him. And you remember what the disciples said? They said, did not our hearts burn within us as he spoke to us along the way? They got heartburn. Scriptural heartburn. The good kind. And how'd they get it? by seeing how the prophecies of the Old Testament land on Jesus Christ and how he fulfills them. Well, did you know that 1/4 of your Bible is prophecy? So if you ever say, well, I don't really want to read prophecy, that you got to cut out a fourth of it, 25%. God put that there so that you and I would read it and we see those things that have been fulfilled. We're steadied by it because really all of them focus on Jesus Christ and his coming again. That's really the main theme of the Bible is Jesus Christ. I love the story about the man who came home from work one evening. He was just bone weary. He wanted a little bit of space. He walked in the front door. Well, he has a little boy who wants his attention and time. Daddy, let's play. And Daddy knows he has no energy, so he thinks, I just need 30 minutes of time alone. Daddy looks on the couch and sees the newspaper. And on the front of the newspaper is a picture of the Earth taken with a space camera. Space probe had been sent up. And there's a big picture of the Earth. Brilliant thought comes into Daddy's mind. He takes and cuts out the picture of the Earth into little puzzle-like pieces and hands the pile of newspaper pieces to the son with tape. He says, you put this puzzle together for Daddy. You put the world together, and then we'll play. Now, Daddy thinks he's got 30 to 45 minutes. In 5 minutes, his son comes to him with the world perfectly put together. Dad is shocked. He says, how'd you do it so quickly? Little boy said, it was easy, Dad. You see, on the back is a picture of a man. And when I put the man together, the world came together. And when you see all of the predictions in the Bible and how they all speak ultimately of Jesus Christ, the man, the Son of Man, the Son of God, and how he rules and reigns, the whole world just comes together. And it enables you and I to go through our present situation and attack steady, solid, because we know the God who holds all things together. Well, let's go back to Matthew 24 and finish up these two verses. The third indicator, the third and really the final ultimate sign is the sign itself, the second coming of Jesus Christ himself. For as lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. The third sign then is what I call supernatural visibility. Probably a better term would be universal visibility. Everybody's going to see it from one end of heaven to the other. Now, folks, this is the second coming we're dealing with. It's not the rapture. At the rapture of the church, if you remember, the church leaves the earth and goes somewhere in the atmosphere. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Jesus comes to the air. At the second coming, Jesus comes from heaven through the air all the way to the earth. At the rapture of the church, only those raptured will see him. 1 Thessalonians says, we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together. But at the second coming, Revelation 1:7, every eye will see him. And Jesus said, it's like lightning. Hey, when lightning happens in Albuquerque in the middle of the summer and you see the flash, it could be in Los Alamos, you'll see it. It could strike the earth up by Santa Fe, you'll see it. It illuminates everything. And that is the meaning, I think, of verse 28. Sort of an odd verse, and a lot of times we ask, what does this mean? Wherever the carcass is, there will the eagles, literally the better word would be vultures, will be gathered together. You can always tell the position of a dead carcass from a long distance away by seeing those birds flying overhead. The carrion, birds of prey. You know something's going on. There's a visibility from a long distance off. So I think the point of these two verses is this. Simply, the coming of Jesus Christ is going to be sudden, public, visible, glorious, dramatic, and universal. Everyone will see it. Unmistakable. Well, that's the second coming. And verse 29 through 31 describe it in great detail. We'll devote all of next week specifically to that great event, the second coming. Today, I want to walk away with a few lessons. And here's the main one, I suppose. Your enemy and mine, the devil, knows you really well. He's studied you. And he's had a long time working with the human race. Thousands of years. He knows what makes human beings tick, what drives us. And he will attack you when you're the most vulnerable, when you are at your weakest point. He's got the strategy ready. And when that happens, what will you do? What do you do? I'll give you a few suggestions of what you should do. Number one, don't isolate yourself. If you think about the tribulation period and all those believers who are going to be hassled and attacked and have to flee to caves and be hungry and weary and thirsty and all of that, they're not going to have the ability to gather together in congregations like this and hear the word of God and sing worship songs. So when you're attacked now, when you feel vulnerable now, don't isolate yourself. And I say that because that is our tendency. We don't feel good, or something's happened in our lives, or we start getting depressed and we go, I don't want to be around people. I was going to go to church, but I don't want to go now. That's when you need to go. You need to get around God's people. You need the encouragement. Don't isolate yourself. Number two, it's back to the book. You study the word. And start learning to study prophecy more often. That neglected 1/4 of the Bible. Because as you read it, you're going to be tethered to God's divine grace. You're going to have a sense of stability like you've never had before. And then number three, expect. Yeah, expect God to show up in the midst of that and take that dark, vulnerable, hard time and transform it. Look for God's mercy and grace in the midst of that. Let God take that time and teach you how to be a deeper person. I've always loved the story of the woman who lived next to the atheist. They lived so close that when the woman, the Christian, would pray out loud, the atheist next door could hear everything she said. Well, he didn't believe in God. He thought she was nuts. In fact, every now and then he'd say, "You crazy old lady, there's no God. Why do you bother praying?" One day, she had no groceries. So, true to form, she prayed out loud, "Lord, you know that I need groceries. I have nothing in the refrigerator, nothing in the cupboards, but I trust you. Please provide." Well, the atheist heard that. So he thought, aha, here's my chance. And he went out and bought her groceries. And put a bag or two of groceries on her front porch, knocked on the door, and hid in the bushes. She opened the door, saw the groceries. She looked up and said, "Thank you, Lord. Praise God. I knew you'd provide." Atheist jumps out of the bushes. "You crazy old lady. God didn't buy those for you. I did." Now he thought he had her. When she heard that, she got even more excited. And she started running down the street. "Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord." He couldn't figure that out. So he finally chased after her and said, "What are you so excited about?" She said, "Look, I knew that God was going to provide groceries. I just didn't know he was going to make the devil pay for it." Either way, she understood that it was God that provided. That took a very tough time in her life and overturned it. And when Satan unleashes his worst attacks, you watch for God to step in and overturn.
You know, when Christ suffered and died on the cross, it looked like a defeat. But we know better. And very often in our own lives, when we suffer, it can look like we're losing. But even in those darkest of times, we can be confident that God will always win out. And we're going to have to wrap things up for today. But before we do, we just want to remind you that you can come alongside us in our mission of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just visit connectiononline.org/give if you'd like to show your support financially. And if you'd like a copy of today's teaching titled The New Dark Ages, just call us at 1-800-922-1888 or visit connectiononline.org/radio. We'll send you a copy on CD for just $6, including shipping. And if these Connection broadcasts are making a difference in your life, let us know. Simply write us at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. or send us an email to mystory@connectiononline.org.
And make the connection.
Although it may seem like our daily routine will stretch on forever, the fact is one day it will be interrupted by the return of Christ. We'll look at that tomorrow right here on The Connection, a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.